Verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Rarely are we given the opportunity to witness a birth and a death at the same time in the same location. And yet the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in Bethlehem affords us that opportunity. His birth, announced to the shepherds by the angel, was the birth of joy. It was the birth of joy which Peter describes as unspeakable and full of glory. It was the birth of joy which Isaiah identifies as everlasting joy. The birth of joy. And the birth of that joy became the death, and it became the funeral, and it became the burial of all the despair and all the sorrow and all the misery that is the characteristic of a fallen world. The swaddling bands that were used to wrap the infant Redeemer, the babe lying in a manger, at the same time became the burial shroud of fear and dread and despair. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Do not dread. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. The birth of joy that became the death of despair. Oh, that today we could listen to this wonderful message that the angel imparted to the shepherds. The birth of Jesus Christ was the birth of joy, great joy. He's emphasizing the fact that this was a joyful event, an occasion to rejoice in. There may have been no room for the Lord Jesus in the inn, but in that manger, there is no room for sorrow. There is no room for sadness. There is no room for misery when we consider the sound and the sight of the birth of the Son of God. It is an event of joy. And the angel says it is an event of great joy, great rejoicing. And therefore, he describes it as a good message. I want you to focus in on those words of verse 10. Good tidings of great joy. How should we contemplate the birth of Jesus Christ? How should we consider his birth? Well, the angel answers that question. This is a good message of great joy. That's what the birth of Jesus Christ is. It is good news. It is a good message. It is good tidings. The best message that the ears of men and women can ever hear. Our ears are so accustomed to the bad news, the evil news, the heartbreaking news that abounds the world over, generation after generation. But the news of Christ's birth, according to the angel, is good news. It is good tidings. A good message that will bring great joy to the hearts of those who hear it with faith and with acceptance. I want us to consider this little phrase, great joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy. What is the essence of this great joy that the angel speaks of? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. The long-awaited Saviour the deliverer, the one who will set us free from the curse of sin, the curse of the law, the curse of death, the one who was promised in the Garden of Eden, the very moment that Adam fell and was separated from God spiritually, became a fallen creature under the curse of the law that he had transgressed. The very moment God said, one day the seed of the woman will come and he will bruise the serpent's head. He will reverse the curse. He will bring deliverance. He will bring salvation. The moment Adam fell, the moment Adam sinned, the moment that judgment was pronounced, God proclaimed the gospel. The seed of the woman. There will come one born of woman, clothed in flesh, the God-man. And he will come to reverse the curse. And he will come to bring the blessing of salvation, deliverance to Adam's fallen race. That's the essence of this joy that the angel refers to. Good tidings of great joy. The seed of the woman has come. The seed of the woman is now born. He who will break the chains of sin and death. He who will bring liberty and life forevermore, he's now born. He has now stepped into time. He has now come into this world. Good tidings of great joy. A Savior is born. And this Savior is Christ, Christos, Messiah, the Anointed One, the One Chosen, the one whom the Father has ordained, God the Father, from all eternity. Knowing that Adam would transgress that covenant. Knowing that Adam would rebel against his Maker. Knowing that Adam would bring the whole world into ruin by his sin. God the Father had already appointed, had already chosen the Savior who would come, even his own dear Son, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the great joy. He is the Christos. He is the Christ, the one anointed to be the prophet, the priest and the king, the redeemer of lost sinners. He's now come. I bring you good tidings of great joy. The Savior has come. Christos, Christ, Messiah is born. Ah, but let's go a little further. I bring you good tidings of great joy. A Savior is born, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, just stop there a moment. Just stop there and ponder that little phrase. How significant, how profound, how majestic, how glorious. They find a babe lying in the manger. But that little helpless babe, absolutely dependent upon his virgin mother, that little babe is the Lord of glory. The incarnate God, Jehovah. And that name Jehovah, taken from the Hebrew verb to be, he who was, he who is, he who will be. The eternal God who is outside of time, who is unlimited, who is omnipotent. The eternal God, Jehovah, the great I Am, is now a babe lying in a manger. Good tidings of great joy. The miracle of miracles. The wonder of wonders. God in human flesh, deity cloaked in humanity. I bring you good tidings of great joy. God stepped into time. God took human flesh. God became man, and not just a man, but he became a babe lying in the manger to be the Savior, to be the Christos, to be the Redeemer. This is the essence of this joy. But you'll notice the extent of this great joy. This Savior who has come, the Lord of glory, God, incarnate God, manifest in flesh, come to reverse the curse. This is a message for all people. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. He comes to the world, he comes to Bethlehem, the city of David, as promised in the Old Testament scriptures by the prophets. He comes as the seed of Abraham, and his salvation, his gospel, is to the Jew first. That favored nation, that nation which God took into covenant relation with himself, the seed of Abraham. God said, I will make of thee a great nation. And from that nation the Savior will come. But you'll notice the message goes beyond the boundaries of the nation of Israel. This message of salvation of the incarnate God, the Savior, is not only for the Jew, but for the Gentiles, for all people, for all nations. The good tidings of great joy is not restricted, not confined. It is to all countries, all nations, all people. Oh, the extent of saving grace. And the day would come when this babe, in the days of manhood, would assemble around him what seemed in the eyes of men to be an insignificant band of followers. And he will say to them, go into all the world, proclaim my gospel to every creature, to every person, to every human being. Do not take into consideration their background. Do not take into consideration their nationality. Do not take into consideration even their religious beliefs. Do not take into consideration their political beliefs. Do not take into consideration their social standing, their language. No, no, no. This gospel is to every creature, every person. Oh, the extent of saving grace. And tell them that whosoever will believe in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Good tidings of great joy to all people. This glorious miracle, God incarnate in flesh, come to be the Savior, is not confined to any one nation or country. No, the Lord's intention. And you'll notice the angels that assembled in verse 13 and 14 make reference to that intention. When they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. This is God's intention. God intends good to all mankind, to all nations. And whoever will believe, whoever will come, can take of the water of life freely and be saved, be forgiven, be reconciled to God, be justified from all things from which the law could not justify us from, can enter into the blessing of redemption and life forevermore and eternal glory. Whosoever will believe can dwell with God forever. Good tidings of great joy. The essence of this joy, the extent of this joy, but notice the experience of this joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Unto you. This message is for you. And the Savior who is at the very heart of this message is for you. This Christ is for you. This birth is for you. Unto you is born this day in the city of David. Unto you. You could paraphrase that and put it like this. He was born for you. You see how personal now the angel is making the message. He wasn't born for angels. They did not need a Savior. These angels had never sinned. Holy from the day that they were created. They didn't need a Savior. And therefore this Savior who is the King of angels was not born for them. He was born for you. And that's a wonderful little thought that runs all the way through the New Testament scriptures. We were sitting at the Lord's table last Lord's Day and we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 where Paul, quoting the words of the Lord Jesus, on the eve of his death, he took the bread and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." And that little babe lying in a manger was born for us so that he might have a body that was broken for us. And Paul says in Romans chapter 5, in verse number 8, that Christ died for us. He was born for us. He was broken for us. He died for us. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse number 12. By his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For us. If you go down that chapter to verse 24, he says there that Christ has entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34 says that he also maketh intercession for us at the right hand of God. And turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse number 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Do you see the line, the golden thread that's running through this tapestry? He was born for you. And he was broken for you. And he died for you. And he ascended into the presence of God for you. And he obtained eternal redemption for you. And he's interceding for you. And he's preparing a place for you. And one day, he will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you get it? Do you see what it's all about? It's for you. Is it any wonder the angel speaking to the shepherds couldn't find the vocabulary? He says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. This is for you. This is for you. This babe born in Bethlehem, who one day will be broken for you, who will die for you, who will obtain eternal redemption for you, who will appear in the presence of God for you, who will intercede for you, who is preparing a place for you, and one day will come again for you. This great joy is for you. It is to be experienced. It is to be enjoyed. It is the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ personally. It's the joy that comes from having his salvation in the heart. This is an experience that you can enter into. But notice finally the inquiry concerning this great joy. As soon as the angels departed in verse 15 and were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now. I have tried to put myself into the scene. Mr. Douglas, who will be with us tonight, I never forget in his English Bible class, the advice he gave was this. He said, always try and put yourself into the scene. Always try and put yourself into the shoes of the people that the focus is upon. And let's just put ourselves into the sandals of these shepherds and imagine the scene. The angel of the Lord appears. They're terrified. Some people have a fear of death, a fear of the unknown. There's fears over many things, but this is a dread of the supernatural. This is a dread of the divine. And the angel says, don't be afraid. Fear not. This is a good message that brings great joy. It's for you. God is incarnate in flesh. The Lord has come. He is clothed in humanity. And what did the angels say to themselves when they saw the multitude and then the angels vanish? They said, let us go even now. Let us go now. Let us now go even on to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Let us go and see. Not one moment to be wasted. We must see this. We must witness this. They make inquiry concerning the message. And should you and I not inquire as to this message? If God has become man, if God became man for us, for you, for me, if he was born, if he died for us, should we not go and see? Should we not inquire into this great message, this good message? Let us go and see this that has been revealed to us. But you can sense the urgency here. Let us now go, right away. Right away. Let's go. No delay. The Lord was near. He was in a place where he could be found, where they could find him, where they could see him. But the time would come when he would not be there. He would be taken to the temple. For the ceremony of circumcision. And then he would be taken into Egypt to flee from the wrath of Herod. There would be a time when he would not be there, when they could not find him and not see him. But now, at that very moment, he was near. He was at hand. He could be found easily. Let us now go, right now, while he's still there. Let's go now. And should you not go now? Should you not come now? In fact, that's the very language that the Lord uses himself. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Seek him now, while he may be found. Inquire now concerning this good message of great joy. And they found him. And they came. And they found it exactly as the angel had said. And their hearts were filled with rejoicing, joy unspeakable. They entered into this great joy. This great joy. But do you know the secret of entering into this great joy? The secret of entering into and experiencing this great joy of which the angels spoke was their great faith. And you can see their faith in verse 15. Let us now go even on to Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass. No doubt, no uncertainty, no skepticism. Let's go and see. This has taken place. And you stop and think about that. When they came into that little place where the Lord Jesus was lying in the manger in the feeding trough of the beasts, they saw a little babe just born. And that little babe was absolutely helpless, totally dependent upon others. And yet they believed, this is the one who created all things. That was great faith. Great faith. They didn't find Jesus of Nazareth as a full-grown man speaking and the dead raised to life. And blind eyes made to see, and the sick cured of their illness just at one word, devils cast out by a word. No, they found a helpless babe lying in the manger, and they believed this is Christ the Lord. And you can see the certainty of their faith. Let us see this thing which is come to pass. They believed this babe is the Lord of glory. He's Jehovah, the great I am. And that's why they went on their way rejoicing. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The great joy that the angel speaks of in this good message is received when we exercise faith in Jesus Christ, when we believe on him. And at this time of the year, when we're singing these great carols, and they are truly great hymns of praise, ponder the words, adore and wonder, marvel, believe the miracle, believe the mystery, God manifest in flesh, born for you, that he might die for you, that he might obtain salvation for you, that he might prepare a home in heaven for you. Oh, that today you might come and trust Christ and receive him. And then this great joy will fill your heart. And let us who have already received Christ, let's rejoice in this. Let's rejoice in this great truth. Clear away all the tinsel that the world seeks to add on. Clear it all away. Let's get right down to the bare simplicity and yet the majesty. God manifest in flesh. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's turn in closing to